Good evening, everyone. Today is December 7th, 2023, and welcome to Radio Out of the Past in the Fred Bertelsen Old Time Radio Room. My name is Brad Snyder, your host for this evening, and this is where we listen to some old time radio and talk about old time radio and basically enjoy the fellowship that is old time radio. We'll have a presentation from Bob Acosta coming up here in about 30 minutes, and we'll find out what it is when we play it. Now, I believe from the file name, it's going to be some gangbusters. So I know Bob likes gangbusters, and so do a lot of us. So that should be very good. Larry's not here, but as always, he has left a promo to let us know what's going on with Same Time, Same Station and Yesterday USA. So let's go ahead and give that a listen. Larry, take it away.
Hi, Larry Gassman here. And this week on Same Time, Same Station, it's Christmas week number two. And we will be hearing Burns and Allen, Fibber McGee and Molly, The Great Gildersleeve, and Stars Over Hollywood, all from about this time period in various years. So in this particular case, you're looking at December 6, 7, 8, 9, for instance. And next week, it'll get a little closer to Christmas. That's what's happening on Same Time, Same Station. Yesterday, USA, Walden and Patricia tonight. And we're busy tomorrow night performing, so it'll be Walden and I think Johnny and Helen and Bob Lyons. Saturday night, Walden and Patricia. Sunday night, I believe, is Perry, and that means one of us will be streaming. That'll be our first time back after several days because it's been busy here performing and doing other things as well. The marathon coming up next week on the 16th should be a whole host of people with us. And we will have Brad Zinn with us as our guest. And Walden and John and I will be doing that, plus other five or six other hosts doing some great programming as well. So stay tuned for that. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everybody to come and join us. It'll be on Yesterday USA Blue as well. And that's all I have for now. It's fairly quick because I got some stuff I got to get done before this evening. So let's return it to Brad Snyder.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Let's see. Walden.
Brad.
We'll put you on the spot. Do you have anything to add to that? I'm sure you do.
I do. Well, today is December 7th, so after I got home from dental stuff and kick code stuff, I've been on the air this afternoon, looking back on December 7th, 1941, with news and a special broadcast. Right now, I'm playing a three-hour interview that Ray Bream did with Rosemary Clooney. Really good. So if you love Rosemary Clooney, this would be a good interview for you to drop in and listen to on the Blue. As Larry said, Patricia and I tonight, and then after she runs away, we'll continue looking back at December 1941. And tomorrow, in the afternoon, we'll jump in, back in and continue looking at December 1941 with shows and news and things. And tomorrow night, it'll be Patricia. We'll join Johnny and Helen, myself, and Bob Lyons. Beyond the day, Saturday and Sunday, with more probably Christmas stuff, maybe more Pearl Harbor material, we'll see. And then, Perry on Bing Crosby, I think part three, Sunday. And Monday is Perry back with Bing Crosby, Christmas style. Then, if you're a fan of the Christmas Carol and looking for brand new material that's come into the hobby, you can tune in next Wednesday, December 13th. Craig Wickman will be with us. Craig has written a book on the history of the Christmas Carol on radio. Always finds new goodies to bring with him. And so that will be next Wednesday, and that will be covering both Yesterday USA Blue, Reps, Spurvac, and Radio once more, because I mean, he'll be with us. Toys for Tot, our annual visit with Ted Sylvester, is on Thursday, December the 14th. And after umpteen million weeks away, John and Larry will be back on Friday night, December 15th. And he's already covered Radio Out of the Past, so I've asked Patricia to join us that night. should have a good time at Brad's Inn on December the 16th. Looking ahead, we'll be definitely expanding the coverage of Jets to the USA during the day for the holidays. We'll be on it a lot. I'll be on in the afternoon, and John Arroyo is threatening starting at 9 in the morning the week of December the 18th. I'll be like that for about 2 weeks or so. So those are some of the good happenings. Looking ahead into the old-time radio hobby, what we know, it will be the Jack Benny Online Convention, February 16th, 17th, and 18th. I'm recording interviews with them. I got done recording an interview with Rich Carrell, son of Charles Carrell. And we talked about the friendship between Jack Benny and Miss and Andy. And lots of good stuff. That will be heard on the week of February 16th, 17th, and 18th. Looking at reps, reps will have their annual quiz show on Wednesday, January the 10th, 2024. And Larry Albert will be the host. And the panel so far is Michael Hinkson, Craig Whitman, Brad Zinn, Keith Scott from Australia. And I'll be coming up with new questions, trying to have our terrific panel and the people who attend stumped. I'll come up with questions, who am I? I'll give clues, and you guys can try to figure out what personality I'm trying to get you guys to figure out who I'm asking questions about. And so we'll get that involved. Most likely we will have gift cards and things to give away if people like to attend. That will be Wednesday, January the 10th, 2024, online, 7 o'clock. Then during the Jack Benny Convention, the 16th, 17th, and 18th, reps will have a Bob Hope recreation. Joe Johnson, who does a one-man show on Bob Hope, Bob Hope, of course. Brad Zinn will be Jack Benny. A lot of the reps stock company will be involved. And we'll play that for on a YouTube channel for reps and also inside the Jack Benny Convention. Well, we know it will be showcase time, and that will be March 21, 22, 23, and 24 at Hotel 116 in Bellevue, Washington. And people so far committed are Margaret O'Brien from movie Meet Me in St. Louis, Carolyn Grine from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. She did Susu. Beverly Washburn, always good old Beverly, will be with us. Her friend Sharon Baird from the Mickey Mouse Club. Mimi Gibson, if you're a fan of Disney, she was 101 Dalmatians. Linda Day George from Mission Impossible will be with us. Linda Behrman, a good voice actress and agent, will be with us. On the male side, besides Larry Albert, Bill Ratner, who does the cartoon G.I. Joe, will be with us. Tommy Cook. Tommy is still working hard at age 93. He'll be 94 in July. Steffi Singer. Ivan Curry. And lots more people will be with us. Brad Zinn. And we'll have a wonderful time with recreations, including Jeff Mystery Theater, Art Queen, Tales of the Texas Rangers, Cavalcade of America, Nightbeat, First Nighter, The Thin Man, Grand Central Station, Bob, The Jack Benny Show, Ethel and Albert, Fern McGee and Molly, Phil Harris Alex Bay Show, The Great Gildersleeve, and we'll have panels and presentations throughout the weekend. Give the Lifetime Achievement to Ann Whitfield on the Phil Harris Alex Bay Show on morning. So that will be March 21, 22, 23, 24 in Bellevue, Washington. Looking ahead down the road and working on trying to get Spurvac locked in. Been asked to look at all our options, so I'm trying to get that locked in. I should have an announcement After December the 17th, for people who want to plan where Spurvac going to be. And I think all the news to fit. Oh, I guess look like Paul Murray going to try and launch a Kickstarter campaign for Boston Blackie in January, I think. And there are lots of Boston Blackie shows. And going to try to release the first segment, for a Kickstarter campaign in January. Those of you who play for the Bold Ventures, that will probably be released around late December, around Christmas Eve, I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm looking forward to hearing those shows, Bold Venture, Bogart, and Lauren Bacall. So, Brad, back to you.
That's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, Walden. Good stuff coming up. And before I let you get away, I want to say, Walden and I, Larry, Michael Ingson, and many others all got together this past weekend at the Hotel 116 in Bellevue for the Reps Christmas. What do we call that? Christmas show.
Christmas
it
Day,
was,
yeah.
Let me tell you, Walden puts together a good slate of entertainment. Let me tell you. We had a good dinner. We had some great recreations, and it was just a really nice short version of what we'll get in March with the showcase. So it was a good time. It was well worth the trip.
And Beverly took good care of us when we were eating.
Beverly took great care of us. Yes.
Sure, no, we had a great time at an Italian
really
restaurant.
Did.
And it rained like cats and dogs, but you know,
all weekend long.
Yep.
But if you expected anything else out of a trip to Seattle this time of year, you were badly mistaken.
Yeah.
But it was a good weekend. We were indoors, so we stayed dry.
We stayed dry, and Brad and Michael and Larry and I got the chance to interview Stuffy Singer and Beverly Washburn for the Jack Benny conviction.
I got to be on the panel. I was scared to death. Thinking ahead.
So we got it done. So that
yeah, we did.
During...
That was good. That was good.
Yeah, well,
no, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And
I just don't believe that Brad stayed dry. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's a beverage consumption joke, kids.
Yes, I realize that. Well, I wasn't left out in the rain, is what I meant. But anyway.
Hi, everybody. No. How y'all?
I understood.
Hello, Maxwell.
Hey, I got
welcome.
The show. Welcome. I got the show queued up for backing up or whatever, so I'm here.
Very good. Very
everyone.
Good. Very good. All righty. Well, thank you, Walden. That's a lot of stuff.
No
appreciate
problem.
You updating us. Hope everybody took notes because there was a lot of content there. There will be a test after we play the show. So
what happens if we fail the test?
We have to
fail
listen.
It real good.
We have to listen to you read it all again, over again.
Again.
We'll
and
rewind
again.
The tape and play it again.
You'll have to grade our papers, Walden.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
All right. Very good.
What's
very
passing,
good.
What's passing, Joni? Is 40% passing?
40%?
It's pass fail. You know, it's
no
it's
credit.
Just about it's
no,
just
no,
about
what,
having
what
a good time.
We're not taking the class. We're not taking the class for credit. Okay.
Yeah, it's just having a good time. So
there you go.
That's it. All right. Well, thank you again, Walden. Appreciate
you
it.
Bet.
So we got a few minutes before our show. If anybody missed it, Bob Acosta's presenting. We have some Gangbuster to listen to. The recording is only 47 minutes long. So either it's a long show or it's two short ones. So I don't know. Joni, were you trying
It's probably two short ones.
Probably without commercials. That makes sense. So, yeah. But I like Gangbusters. One of my favorites. I remember listening on my little earphone late at night, KRLD, when I was not quite an adolescent. So
I used to have radio shows on tape, and one of them was Gangbusters. I used to like, there was a couple of them I had, and so it was a neat show, and lots of gunshots and criminals that were too confident for their own good. And It tried to show you like from the criminal's viewpoint, but of course it always showed at the end, crime doesn't pay.
Crime doesn't pay. Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
And did you notice there was never any bridge music?
No,
no,
right.
What?
Never any bridge music. Never.
Nope.
Oh, that's
never.
True. Yeah.
There was no music. I don't believe there's any music whatsoever in Gangbusters, was there?
No,
well, the only time
I
went to nightclubs and stuff.
Yeah,
or the bar.
You hear them a little bit
but,
in the bar.
But there was no, like you said, no intro music, outro, no bridge music into and out of
no bridges,
commercials,
yeah.
No nothing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe a little background ambience in a bar or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, that's fine, you know? That's very unique.
Yeah. 21st Precinct was the same way. No music in the show.
I tried. Just for a second.
I know you did.
Okay. that's all I had to
Precinct
say.
It was a much older show, though, wasn't it, Brad?
Say it again.
I say, I think that 21st Precinct was like a much older show, though, wasn't it?
No. It was 1953 to 56.
Right.
So
I think I'm thinking of.
Gangbusters started in the 30s, I think.
Yeah, in the 30s. Like, I don't know when it started.
Yeah, that was an old show.
And it kept
another
going
show,
until the 58. You know,
another show I just thought of that didn't have music, as far as I recall, was Buck Rogers. And then the other one was The Weird Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I don't think Buck Rogers did.
Yeah, The Either Weird they... Circle was a very, sort of, dry production like that. Yeah,
I never was a Buck Rogers fan, so I don't remember that.
You didn't like have your ray gun and
no.
Oh, man.
No ray gun here.
No, I wasn't a Buck Rogers fan either, but I think it was Buck Rogers that had the commercials for popsicles, and
popsicles.
I loved hearing those commercials.
Mm. Yep.
Popsicles and icicles.
They called me Ronald
Popsicle
Reagan.
Pete. Ronald Reagan, yes.
Very
nice. Sorry, I don't have my rim shot set up.
You know?
Yeah, I need that.
Well, for you guys that want to know it, I feel a lot better.
Good. You sound better.
Glad
to hear that,
Johnny.
Glad to hear that.
Are you home, Johnny?
You sound like you feel better.
Oh, yeah. I've been home for a little bit over a week.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You sound really good, Johnny.
Yep.
Yeah.
After two duty.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, well, I went through a pretty bad summer, but it looks like things are getting...
Well, now it's
a lot better.
Now it's almost winter, so let's hope fall, you know, your fall is will be past and you have a good winter coming on. Of course, there's not much of a winter in Arizona, but it is winter, so whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And I don't want to seem like I'm saying anything, because there are a lot of people that know that my birthday is a week from today.
Honey,
I think
everybody knows your birthday.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't, Brad? Well, you're one out of a million who doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
A million
it's a natural holiday.
I have never kept it a secret. I'm very proud. I'm going to be 84.
84.
You know what? I'm not going to say 84 years young, because I just always hated when people say, oh, look at Norman Lear. He died. Oh, he was 101 years young. Yeah, come on. Everybody, you know, you're old enough. If you're old enough, to me, I've always found whatever years young so condescending. I'm sorry, that's just my opinion.
I agree, Marcia.
That's what you really think, Marcia.
It sounds like that it's a way for people to not have to say old or something like
that. To me it's not a
years
compliment
of age,
it's,
it wouldn't be young or old.
That's it's to me it's just not something you say to somebody. And if anybody ever says to me, Oh, Marcia, you're whatever years young. I'm going to say, oh, no, I'm not. I'm whatever years old.
And, exactly. I really agree with that.
Oh, well, I'm gonna shut my mouth.
Wow.
Who's presenting tonight? Oh, Bob, you said.
Bob Acosta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gangbusters. Oh,
I love Gangbusters. I always did.
Me too.
Yep. We got about 9 minutes and then we'll get it going. So I suppose everyone's looking forward to the holidays. Do we have any favorite holiday-oriented OTR that we think of when we think of the holidays? I know there's a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hanukkah begins tonight.
Yes,
that's right.
And happy Hanukkah, Joni.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Are there any Hanukkah-oriented old-time radio shows?
I don't think I've ever heard one on.
I don't think I've ever heard one either.
Me neither, and that's a shame.
I know.
Probably The Eternal Light, which was a Jewish-oriented show.
Oh.
It was on for years and years and years. Mm. And there probably are some Hanukkah programs. But, you know, you guys have to learn to say Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. I can do it.
You have to do it with
Bob had played a few months ago. Bob played some stuff from the CBC that touched on, I think it might have been Passover. I think it was like Easter and Passover stuff. But in the States, I don't think I've ever heard any real reference to Jewish holidays in OTR.
Hmm. Well, I think the only would be one Passover, you know. That'd be where you would hear it, some references.
I'm glad you're better, Joni.
Thanks, Maxwell.
Week, and I hope you enjoy your birthday next week.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Happy early 84th birthday, just in case I'm busy next Thursday, because I probably will be.
So. Oh, well.
Do you have any plans figured out yet, Joni? Are you doing anything?
I think I'm going to be allowed to leave my room, which I haven't been. I really haven't been out of this room since probably beginning of April, because I had COVID, and that lasted really a very long time, a couple of months.
I remember that.
Then I went to the hospital and had all these problems, and then I went the second time and had COVID again and had C. diff. Oh, let's not go through these boring things.
Well,
so, Joni, if you had your wish and you were in the mood, what would it be next Thursday? Would it be Dairy Queen? What would you want?
Unfortunately, I can't eat any milk
dairy
products. Right, dairy products.
Well, you could have a burger without cheese or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I might go to Judy's, or we might pick up some food, or we might go to a restaurant. I would love Dairy Queen.
Your favorite place, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're help keeping Warren Buffett afloat, Joni, by visiting Dairy Queen.
Yes, isn't that true? But I can't anymore. So maybe Judy will get me non-dairy ice cream, or I don't know yet. Okay. I think they're going to let me out of here, but I'm not quite sure. But I met my new nurse practitioner today, who was very nice, and I had a couple nurses that came in from this place that is sending nurses and my physical therapist in here called Banner Health Care. And these people are very, very nice. So, so once again, I have come out of it, hopefully, and because everybody says I have 9 lives.
At least.
And my sister says I have more. Yeah.
Yeah, more than that.
That's what Judy always says. I mean, I can't believe that I'm going to be 84. And
yeah.
What I learned my whole life about my favorite, almost favorite thing. Well, you guys know old records, old time radio, and books, and more books. And I've been very fortunate that I've been able to pursue these hobbies.
So, Brad, did you have a good trip home? Were there any?
Yes, I did. It went well. Sharon did a great job of getting us to the airport. I got there like way early, which was good because that makes it stress-free. My flight left about 20 minutes late and arrived about 20 minutes early. So you can't, must have had a really good tailwind.
That's great.
It all worked out well. It was a good trip.
Oh, Brad, yeah. I, in case you didn't get the email, I just wanted to mention that I did get the...
Yep, I saw that.
Oh,
very
good.
Very good. Enjoy all that. So, anyhow, yeah, it was great. I'm looking forward to coming back in March.
It'll be fun.
It'll be good. It'll be good. And soon we'll be talking about Spurdvac next October.
That's true. And Beverly said she's planning to let's go back to the Italian restaurant. So I think we had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Friday night, so.
Oh yeah, that was good. Well, both Friday and Thursday night, we went to dinner both nights. That was good.
Yeah.
So, it was a good weekend. It was a good group to spend time with, and just really enjoyed being around people that enjoy the hobby. Anyway, we are almost ready to play this show. We got 28 after. So anybody got any snacks you want to get? Get yourself adult beverage or other refreshments. Now's your time. You don't want to miss Gangbusters. And we'll be back on the other side and chat some more.
So you'll be playing, right, Brad?
Yeah, I got it queued up and ready to
That's
go.
That's good. I'll back up and I'll grab an
adult. Sounds really good.
Yeah,
I'm at 29 after. Why don't we go ahead and I will mute everybody and let's go ahead and get this shoe on the road, as they say.
All right.
So, yes, are we ready? Here we go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Robert Acosta speaking from the Fred Bertelsen Old Time Radio Memorial Room. This has been a tough year, 2023, as the date, of course, is December 7th now, but the year has been tough for our family. I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very happy and holy holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. And I probably have left some holidays out, but you have the greatest time of your lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we enter the world of Gangbusters. And Gangbusters is one of my favorite shows. When I was a kid, I would lie on the floor and listen to the machine guns and the glass shattering and so forth. It was a great show, and they did solve crimes. They really did. There are shows where they had guests on who helped solve a crime. So I want you to enjoy it. First star, I believe, is Frank Reddick. And the second star of the second show is someone we all know, Ralph Bell. So sit back and enjoy.
Gangbusters. Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Valentine, who has just resigned as commissioner of the largest police department in the world, takes over for Gangbusters to interview by proxy Chief of Police Hans Halverson of Ray, North Dakota. Commissioner Valentine.
Now, Chief Halverson, the official police reports show that John K. Giles was an exceptionally cunning criminal.
And deadly, Commissioner Valentine.
So you're going to start tonight's case back at Leech Lake in Minnesota?
Yes. There was a tall, wealthy sportsman, a Mr. George William Stubblefield. He had one of the fashionable cottages with a Mr. Barton, and they were there for some bass fishing. Now, in that same section was reported to be the super criminal John K. Giles, like lightning with a gun. At 10:30... in the evening of September 2nd, Mr. Stubblefield and Mr. Barton were in their cabin, alone, looking over their bass fishing equipment.
I think I'll try my double spinner with a bucktail streamer tomorrow, Mr. Stubblefield.
Yeah? Well, let me see it.
The water is pretty warm in the lake, and I think the bass are down pretty deep. Here somewhere.
Get those hands up. Both of you. Get those hands up or I'll shoot.
Well, we have company.
I know you're both rich and you're alone out here in this cabin.
I guess he means it too, Mr. Stubblefield.
Young man, don't you realize that crime doesn't pay?
I don't want any sermons. I want cash.
Well, it so happens we have our hands in the air. Very little money grows on ceilings.
All right. You first.
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name is Stubblefield.
All right, lower your right hand and pick out everything there is in your pocket and drop it on the floor.
It'll get all dirty.
Do as I told you.
All right, all right. But I only have 100 or 200 in my pocket. There's some. And here's some more.
I wouldn't try to pick that gun up.
Don't you anymore. Hey, don't, look. My hand.
I told you, young man, crime doesn't pay.
The easiest thing to do, Stubb, would be to put a bullet through the back of his head and drop him into the lake.
Hey, no, no, you can't do that. Hey, let me go, will you?
Say, you don't suppose he's that famous gunman they say might be around this section, that John K. Giles?
Oh, I doubt it.
No, hey, no, I'm not Giles. Oh, I just pull little stuff.
All right, I'm going to count to three. If you're still around, one, two.
Streak of lightning, huh?
That's the best show I've had in weeks.
If he only knew he tried to hold up the famous John K. Giles himself.
He ought to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, Barton, the feel of this gun in my hands, well...
Thank God.
Yeah. The one I've been planning. The bank at Ray, North Dakota.
But what's the matter with what we're doing now? Two wealthy fishermen, the bass are biting good. You've got three rich dames here crazy about you.
There's plenty of women and plenty of bass other places. Start packing up, Barton. This little gun, and you and me, are going to pay a visit to Ray, North Dakota.
Yeah, I didn't figure this Ray, North Dakota would be such a busy place, Giles.
You ready? We'll take a little walk into the bank.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Don't turn around. Somebody's walking up and back here.
Who is it?
Johnson, the chief of police. I checked on the police early this morning, and I'm sure.
I saw you two men standing here. I was wondering if you wanted anything special.
Well, that's nice of you. We're strangers in town.
Well, what's on your mind?
Well, we heard there was some good bass fishing around. If we could find a place to stay.
Well, there are a couple of good hotels.
My name is Stubblefield. This is Mr. Barton.
Howdy. Hi. I happen to be the chief here, Chief Johnson. There's a good hotel right down the street.
Where?
Well, you go down there to the 3rd Street, and then you take a...
He knew who we were all the time.
He's not dead.
Now, come on. Beat it to the car. Instead of this bank, I know a couple of other jobs we can pull. Then we'll separate until the heat's off. Hop in.
Hey, haven't you got any nerves at all, Donald?
Not at a time like this.
Well, after we separate, what then?
We'll meet again in Nevada. At Reno. Welcome to Reno. I missed you, Barton. Come on up.
I'll be right there.
Hello?
Don't you ever stay in your room?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Lawson.
I told you to call me Betty. I'm giving a cocktail party this afternoon. You've got to come.
Well, I'd love to, but I'm playing golf with Mrs. Wood.
Cocktail party if you aren't
going to
be there.
Well, that's very flattering, but I'll tell you what. I'll see you at the roulette table tonight.
You will. Will you drive me home afterwards?
Hey, what a swanky choice.
Oh, somebody just come in?
My butler.
Oh, you lucky thing to have a butler.
Well, now I'm one of them things.
I'll remember. Tonight at the roulette table. Bye, my dear.
I'll be there. Don't you dare forget.
I won't. Goodbye.
So now I'm your butler, huh?
Oh, sit down, Barton. Yeah, things have been pretty rosy since I saw you last.
Really? What have you got lined up?
About 10 divorces for a relaxation. And the gambling casino for us to take over.
Hmm. Say, how about a little thirst quencher, huh?
Champagne?
Oh, no. It gives me a head the next day unless I drink a lot of milk before I go to bed. And milk's making me fat. A slug of rye.
I got a whole closet full. I just got in the room myself as you called.
Put your hands up, Giles.
You too, Barton. Well, police popping out of liquor closets? Police popping out of bathrooms? Any more under the bed?
Put the cuffs on both of them.
Yeah, oh, right. I don't know whether it's a nice reception I get, Giles.
No worry, Barton. We'll get a little rest for a few days. Then we'll break out of whatever they put us into.
Pretty cocky, aren't you, Giles?
As cocky as you cops are lucky.
No, it wasn't luck, Giles. After you killed Chief Johnson and Ray, North Dakota, you robbed the First National Bank of Genoa. Then you hired a private plane to bring you from Salt Lake City here to Reno.
Well, where do we go from here?
You're going back to Iowa. You've escaped from every prison you ever put into, Giles. But you ever hear of the specially built Pottawatomie Prison?
Hey, that's quite a name, isn't it? The Oh, never mind. I'll be out of it before I can pronounce it.
And so, Commissioner Valentine, cop killer and escape artist John K. Giles was headed for prison. But we've just started our case.
Well, Chief Halverson, we certainly want to hear what happened next.
Now, back to tonight's gangbusters case of John K. Giles and Commissioner Louis J. Valentine.
Now, Chief Halverson, cop killer John K. Giles was headed for prison.
And Commissioner Valentine, Pottawatomie Prison in Iowa was the last word in prison. Giles and Barton were being ushered through the prison corridor.
Now, this will be your cell, Giles, and Barton.
Quite an iron box, this, isn't it?
You're quite an escape artist, Giles. That's why a special cell like this was built for guys like you. You see, it's built on a turntable made of steel. There's only one door to it. The floor is steel. Well, in fact, you might try it out with a hacksaw blade.
I would, if we had one.
Use the one you have hidden in the heel of your shoe.
Oh.
I guess they've got us this time, Giles.
All right. Seeing you know I've got a hacksaw blade, I'll try it just for fun.
When you go through a door and have metal on you, it signals. Doesn't bite in, does it, Giles?
Quite amusing.
Another thing, Giles. All we allow you is bunk blankets, overalls, and as living implements, toothbrushes, paper cups and plates, and wooden spoons.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. That's enough for me to escape with.
Oh, cut it out, will you, Giles?
Now, if you two will step into your cell. What do you think of it, Giles?
Well, personally, but of course it's just my own opinion, I think it stinks.
I tell you, Giles, I can't stand it in this cell. I'd rather rip up this blanket and string myself up.
If that's what you want.
This is the end.
If I'm going to do any killing, it'll be the guard, but not me.
Well, okay, okay, but if we kill the guard, how can we get out?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Maybe we could kill the guard and use the
pills. Joe, set up that speaker and take it on the earphones while I take this call. Hello?
How long before you come home, Walter?
Well, I probably won't even be home tonight, dear.
Oh, why not?
Well, I'm in a little room in the basement under the special cell. We determined that Giles isn't going to escape.
But Giles is in the escape-proof cell. He couldn't escape out of that cell.
Well, this Giles is superhuman. We're not taking any chances. We've got a microphone hidden in the wall, and one of us stays down here by the speaker every second.
Are they still plotting to escape?
Giles can think up two new ways every 10 minutes. We let them go ahead and then stop them just about as they start something.
Walter,
The
baby's got a new tooth.
No kidding.
That's what I wanted to tell you.
Oh, that's swell. I'll call you back, darling. I've got to listen into Giles and Barton. All right, Joe. Switch it back.
Okay, I see. So killing the guard is out.
Maybe somehow we can get into a fight. Be badly hurt. Even then, I don't think they'd let us out of this cell.
I'm going to turn in, Giles. I'm all in. My brain won't work.
As if my brain starts to work the best.
I don't want to stay cooped up in this cell the rest of my life.
All right, go to sleep. Let me do the thinking.
I wish I'd been a Sunday school teacher or something. Good night.
What's the matter, Barton? Think you're dreaming? Huh?
You all finished?
Sure.
Say, you done stir crazy, Charles?
What? What's the matter?
You thought I was asleep, but I've been watching you for an hour, putting water through that little hole in the wall.
No savvy?
What's the gag?
The cops have got a microphone in the wall.
What?
They've been listening for days to every word we've said.
How do you know?
I sounded the wall.
Well, why didn't you tell me? I wouldn't have said some of the things I did.
I wanted you to talk just like you didn't know. You were making up all those crackpot ideas to escape. It kept them busy, their minds occupied. Well, I was doing some special thinking to myself.
Yeah, but why the water? Can't they hear us now?
Water short circuits wires, Barton. That's what I've been pouring it through this little hole in the wall for. They'll think just something has gone wrong with the amplifier. While they're sending for a radio repairman, we'll do our real planning.
Have you thought of something?
We're going to start out of here in about 2 minutes.
Well, listen, you wouldn't kid me. You wouldn't kid me about
Look,
that.
We didn't have anything to work with. But I made something. I chewed up part of a paper plate till it was a pulp.
Yeah?
Then I chewed up a few cigarette papers. And using that as a plastic, I pushed it into the cell lock here. And I got an impression of the lock.
Holy smokes, but what good will that do?
Then I used both of our toothbrushes. By rubbing them on the sharp corners of the cell, I shaped them with the right notches and curves. And those brush handles will unlock the lock.
Oh, you're crazy, Charles. It wouldn't be possible.
Then you stay here. I'm leaving. Just outside in the garage is a blue police car. The door of the garage is steel. But if the car hits it hard enough, I think it'll give.
I don't know whether I'm awake or dreaming.
Here. Here's the toothbrush handle. Let's get started.
If you can open that big cell lock with that rig. Ah, it can't be done, John. Quick.
It's open.
Holy smokes, I'm safe.
Come on. You let the guy signal our escape. Hurry.
Just saw you come out of the movies. How'd you like it?
Well, not bad. You haven't got a bad little town here.
Mr. Concord, New Hampshire don't take second place to any town. You know, there's a lot of excitement in town today.
Yeah, why?
That criminal Giles, you know, in the papers.
Yeah?
They found the car he'd been driving in town in a parking lot last night. They sent it to you.
Yeah, okay, bud.
Don't move a muscle, Giles. There are four officers who've come up behind you with submachine guns. They'll cut you in two.
So that was the store, huh? And I fell for it.
Yeah. And we have your pal Cook, too. Remember, boys, this guy killed one chief of police without giving him a chance.
Halt! Well, men, welcome to Alcatraz. Giles, step out.
You have a nice sea breeze out here, Dodd.
Well, Giles, you're supposed to be an escape artist. But never since Alcatraz was built has a man successfully escaped.
Not yet, huh?
Not yet. It's 2 miles to the coast of California. The tide's on 8 miles an hour and can't be swum. The prisoners are not allowed to talk to each other. Prisoners are counted every 30 minutes.
Oh, you guys here can count, huh?
You're assigned to the laundry, pressing clothes. You're doing the laundry for the army now. And besides, Giles, a cop killer isn't very welcome at Alcatraz. All right, men, start marching to your assigned place.
Stick me in the laundry with this steam pressure. Let me talk to anybody.
Eh?
They made a mistake by letting me help load the wash into the army boat when it docks. The guy could get a GI outfit. Pants, shirt, belt, and socks. He might slip on board the boat when it's leaving. Yeah. But you can't steal an outfit all at once. You gotta be patient. A year, maybe. Yeah, one thing at a time. Hide in the middle of the dock. And everything must fit me exactly. Or I'd be noticed when I go on board. Yeah.
Cast them off.
You got all aboard, you board?
Yeah, it's all aboard, Sergeant.
Fine. I'm going aboard then.
Gas officer, fine.
Yeah, they're sailing right off, huh?
As soon as we get the gangway up, Sergeant.
That's the stuff. Every trip, the sooner we can get away from this Alcatraz dock, the better I like it.
What's the matter, Sergeant? Cold?
No, I just thought I'd sit down here behind the lifeboat, take a little rest.
That's quite a sight, isn't it? Alcatraz fading in the distance.
Yeah. I hate that dump. Some of those guys in there are pretty tough babies, huh?
Yeah. I guess a fellow in there has a pretty helpless feeling. See nobody ever escape.
Yeah. Not like sitting out here with the wind and the sea. Yeah. This is great.
Orders have just come through. There's some trouble.
Yeah?
I just came from the radio house. They just made their 30-minute count at Alcatraz, and one of them cons is missing.
Holy smokes.
A fellow by the name of Giles. He's a cop killer.
Hey, wait a minute. You mean radio says one of them Alcatraz guys is on our ship?
Yeah, a fairly tall guy. Good looking. They're going to start a search.
Oh, look, guys. If there's a killer like that on the ship, what'll they do?
You're swinging now, see? We're starting to head back to the rock.
Heading back to the rock?
Yeah. What's the matter, you seasick?
Yeah, I guess I'll go over to the rail.
What's the matter with him, Buzz?
Hey, you notice how he acted? I don't think he's seasick.
Hey, I'll bet you... If I don't recognize him, I'll bet you
he... Hey, he's starting to climb the rail.
That's Giles. Sure, he's going to commit suicide. Come on, let's rush him.
Come on, get back.
Well, Giles, okay. Okay, you got me. I'm through. I'm washed up.
Yeah, washed up. But keeps. I'll go back to the rock and die there.
Giles attempted that escape less than 2 months ago, Commissioner Valentine. July 31st.
And I understand, Chief Halverson, that his failure broke him. He's no longer the escape artist, but a broken wreck of a man.
Yes, Commissioner. John K. Giles has no more spirit left. You might call him a walking dead man behind those massive walls of Alcatraz.
Well, Chief Halverson, this has been a terrific case and just proves again that crime cannot pay.
For next week, same time, same station, listen to Gangbusters.
Wasn't this a great show? Absolutely enjoyable. They broke John Giles' spirit. And boy, a prisoner, I guess all they have time for is to figure out how to escape. The next show is one you'll know. It's just great. It stars Ralph Bell and Anzi Strickland. So I want you to sit back and enjoy it.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the CBS Radio Network presents Gangbusters. Gangbusters, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories, has asked Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath, retired, Chicago Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Lieutenant McGrath.
Thank you. And good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Because state boundaries and city limits mean nothing to a criminal, the police of one jurisdiction must often call upon those in another for assistance in trapping a fugitive. Such assistance is invariably offered most generously for many reasons. Principally, because a fugitive loose in a city will eventually become a lawbreaker there. To show how it works, let's begin one summer afternoon a few years ago in the city of Chicago. In a lunchroom on Madison Street, west of the river, A man in his middle 30s sat at a table waiting for the waitress to bring his order. He also kept his eyes on the front door. Finally, another man arrived and walked to his table.
Hello, Nicky. How are you, John? Long time no see.
Sit down.
Yeah. When you called and said it was you, I thought somebody was kidding. What you doing back in Chicago, Nicky?
I missed the lake. Came back to look at the water.
Things get too hot on the coast?
Something like that.
How you fix for cash?
Don't tell me you're giving it away.
Not if you're pressed. I'm always in the market for good merchandise.
Well, maybe we can do some business, John. If your prices have come up any.
Show me what you got. I'll put a price on it.
I landed in town. The place looks strange to me.
Well, things change in 10 years, Nicky.
I didn't know a soul, so I said to myself, I said, Nicky, maybe old John is still in business. I look you up in the telephone book, and what do you know? There you are at the same old stand. How's the cleaning and pressing business, John?
It's all right for a sideline. Bring whatever you got around. I'll make you a deal.
Got one piece with me.
Let's see it.
Sure.
Things are hot on the coast, huh?
Lukewarm. Diamond ring. Genuine antique. I'm going to stick around in Chicago, John. I got myself a two-bit job in a wholesale grocer's.
Job's a good thing. 500 on the ring, Nicky.
Give it back. Genuine antique.
Okay, suit yourself.
Here you are, mister. Oh, hi, John.
A hamburger, Liz. Not too well. A cup of coffee.
Okay, John. Hey, that's a nice ring.
You're telling me?
It's the kind of ring a girl dreams about.
Go on, Liz. We're talking business.
Well, you know it's business.
Bet you don't break your back on that job, Nicky.
Just a few pencil points. I'm a checker. What'd you call that waitress, Liz?
Yeah, why?
Not a bad-looking trick.
Well, maybe I can fix it up for you.
I can do my own fixing.
Yeah? Here she comes. See how far you can get.
You want your coffee now, John?
No, later.
Okay. How's the beef, mister?
Great. What there is of it. Say, I've been away a long time. Maybe you'd like to show me a few of the new spots around.
And maybe I wouldn't. Ha! What'll you have for dessert?
Apple pie's not bad here, Nicky.
If a girl treats me right, I treat her right.
Do you want dessert or don't you? I got 5 other tables.
Apple pie sounds okay. No, John, I don't think I'll sell you the ring. No, I don't think so.
Well, it's up to you.
I can find some use for it, I guess.
Do you want coffee with a pie or something?
How about it, kid?
Okay, mister. You've got a date.
Well, Gangbusters listeners, at about that same time, another man arrived in Chicago from the West Coast. He was Sergeant Ed Sully of the Homicide Bureau, Los Angeles Police Department. He checked his bag at the LaSalle Street Station and took a cab to the police building at 11th and State, where he was immediately shown to the office of Lieutenant Peter Sukar.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Oh, come and sit down.
Yeah, thanks.
How was the trip?
All right, fine, I guess.
Oh, this is Detective Joe Cecilia. Sergeant Sully.
Hi, how are you?
You got a hotel?
Yeah, I got a reservation at the Royal.
Well, it's a nice place. Where's your bag, Sergeant, outside?
No, I checked it in the station.
Well, we can pick it up later. Now, this guy, Nicky Small, we haven't got anything on him here. He was never arrested here under that name.
No, I don't guess he was. We don't think he started to use that name till he got out to the coast. He was picked up out there for investigation of robbery a couple of times and released. I brought along some mug shots and set a prints on him.
Oh, good. Sass, send these prints up to BI and have them checked out, will you?
Yeah, sure, Lieutenant. By the way.
Well, how long has it been since this Nicky left Chicago?
Oh, 8-9 years.
It's a long time.
The information we got says that at that time he hung out on Madison Street near the river.
It's a lot of territory. And rough territory.
Prints are on the way up, Lieutenant.
Oh, good. Who'd he kill anyway, this Nicky?
Well, he and 3 others tried to shake a restaurant owner. They found his money and beat him to death.
Nice boys.
We got 3 of them. They told us Nicky originally came from Chicago and they thought he was headed back here.
Well, pretty much of a long shot.
In addition to the cash, they took some jewelry. Nicky's part of the jewelry was an antique diamond ring.
Oh, yeah. I saw the circular on that. The chief sent the circular along with the letter. What do you think, Sass?
We can try.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Sergeant. Sass will drive you over for your bag and get you settled in the hotel, and we'll start checking around that neighborhood. Okay?
It's okay with me, Lieutenant. We'll help you find him, if he's here. Well, after coming 2,000 miles, he'd better be here.
Finish your drink, Liz, baby. There's more where that came from.
I don't need any help from you. I can finish it without you putting your arm around me.
What kind of a sport are you anyway?
Not the kind of sport you think, Nicky. Now, keep your distance.
If I'd known it was going to be like this, I wouldn't have given you a second look in the restaurant.
I got a lasso and dragged you out with me.
What's the matter, Liz? Don't I appeal to you?
In a way, yeah.
What do you mean, in a way?
You're okay, Nicky, but I wouldn't want you to get the wrong impression.
And it ain't no burning romance.
You said you wanted a little company. Here I am, company.
What are you fishing for, kid?
Me? Fishing?
I got your tag, baby. The minute I flashed that ring, your eyes popped out.
Hey, what do you take me for?
I don't blame you, baby. Anybody'd like that ring. But like I told John, I got a use for it.
Oh?
What do you say, kid? Come here.
Stay away from me. Stay away.
Oh, okay.
In a public place, I never...
Well, I was just getting up close to tell you. The ring is for you.
For me?
Yeah.
You don't mean it.
Didn't I say it?
Nicky! Where is it? Let's see it.
Now, you don't think I'd carry a valuable ring like that around with me?
No, I guess you wouldn't.
When I give a present, I give what suits the lady. How about tomorrow night?
What time will you be by, Nicky?
Same time, baby. And dial up. Dial up good. You got a real surprise coming. Now, how about that other drink?
Well, Nicky, I can't hardly finish this one if you're holding me so tight. But it's nice.
So, Gangbusters listeners, as the fugitive was getting settled in Chicago, detectives began the tremendous job of canvassing the district west of the Chicago River between Madison Street and Cermak Road, showing the fugitive's photograph to merchants, hotel clerks, and rooming house operators. Late the next afternoon, Sergeant Sully and Lieutenant Sukor were walking together down Madison Street.
Well, I guess it's pretty hopeless, Lieutenant.
Yeah, 8 or 9 years is a long time, Ed.
Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ask you fellows to waste any more time.
And the files are full of cases that have been cleared because a little time was wasted on them. We'll stick with
here, Sully.
Hello, Lieutenant. Ed.
Any luck, Sass?
No, not a nibble. I flashed Nicky's picture at every shopkeeper on the side streets all the way down to the park. Oh, they ought to make these sidewalks soft.
Well, how about Malloy?
He's working the other side. He ought to be along any minute.
What do you say, Ed? You willing to call it a day?
Sure, Lieutenant. Some of the stores are closing anyway. There's no need of you fellas going any farther with it. I'll cover the rest of the neighborhood myself tomorrow.
That's a big order, Ed. We'll stick with you one more day. How about it?
You got a deal.
Come on, Sass. Let's find Malloy and get out of here.
Lieutenant, you got another deal.
Back to Gangbusters in a moment. Here are some sensible thoughts for amateurs in the investment field. Before you turn to any type of investment, you should have a cash reserve for emergencies. And before you turn to speculative investments, you should have a growing amount of non-speculative United States defense bonds, whose interest is guaranteed. Remember, the new U.S. defense bond is worth more quicker. It builds up towards the full 3% interest on a much faster time scale, so that even if your bonds must be cashed in before full maturity, they pay much more than before. Regular bond purchases are patriotism with profit. Where you bank or where you work, buy U.S. defense bonds regularly. They help America, and they help you to future security. And now back to Gangbusters.
Okay, all right. Hi, Nicky. Come in.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, this is not a bad place you got here, Liz. Not bad at all.
Oh, I call it home. You like my dress?
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, sit down, Nicky. Make yourself comfortable.
Come here, baby.
Nicky, I just put my lipstick on.
Did you?
Nicky, is that package for me?
Well, that depends.
Oh, honey.
Watch your lipstick.
Who cares for lipstick?
I guess this package is for you.
Gee, it's kind of a big package for a ring.
Well, I had to do a job of wrapping for something that fitted you so perfectly.
I guess you did.
Well, go on, open it.
Oh, sure. Oh, this is really something. It's just the... Nicky. What is this, anyway?
Just what it looks like. A bottle of pickled onions. We got a million of them where I work. You want some more?
Who are you?
Yeah, go on.
What do you think I am?
I'll tell you what you are. Trying to con me out of that ring.
Go on, get out of here.
I want you to know that nobody plays me for a chump. Nobody. Nobody, you understand?
Please.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
We'll see if you understand this. Do you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. As long as you understand. That kind of stuff might go with some of those jerks around that hash house, but not me. Remember that.
Get out of here.
You don't have to coax me, baby. I'm gone. Hope you enjoy the onions.
Nicky, here. I hope you enjoy them.
You're lucky, Liz. You're lucky you got such a rotten name. For crying out loud, John, will you stop that pressing and talk business with me? I want to make a deal for this stuff.
Look, Nicky, in the first place, nobody asked you to come. In the second place, a customer's coming back for this suit in half an hour. I promised I'm going to be pressed.
What's more important, the cleaning business or making a deal for this stuff? I got to get back on the job.
Somebody's come in out front.
It's not that guy for a suit already.
How should I know? You wait here. Good afternoon. Something I can do?
We're from the police department.
Is something the matter?
No, we'd just like you to take a look at this picture. Tell us if you know this man.
This man?
Yeah. Is he a customer? Have you ever seen him around the neighborhood?
No.
He doesn't look familiar to you?
No.
Are you the only one who waits on trade here?
That's a small business.
Who's that in the back you were talking to?
Nobody. Just a customer getting his pants pressed. No, I never seen this fella.
Come on, Ed.
Much obliged to you.
So long. And thanks.
It's okay. Anytime.
Go ahead, Lieutenant.
You. Nicky, you know what that was? Cops.
Cops?
Yeah, and they flashed your picture.
You're kidding.
No, I don't kid about this kind of thing. You're hot, Nicky. You better move. Get packed. Get out.
All right, okay. I'll move. Stop pressing that suit. They might be hanging around.
Yeah.
Well, Lieutenant, I guess we might as well call it quits after today, huh?
Well, we still have a little while to go, Ed. Only takes one break.
Yeah, but where is it?
Well, how about a cup of coffee?
Sure, why not?
Come on, Lee.
Duck into that place there. Doesn't look too bad.
No, not too bad.
Go on.
Counter or table?
Well, how about that table there?
Good enough. Well, nobody can say we didn't try.
What'll be, gentlemen, lunch?
No, just a coffee for me.
Coffee?
Coffee here, too, and a piece of pie.
We got apple, cherry, lemon meringue, peach, coconut.
Apple's okay.
Two coffees, one apple pie.
Miss.
Listen, I don't go out with the customers.
We're police officers.
Yeah? So?
Take a look at this picture. Tell me if you ever saw the man in here, will you?
Well, yeah, sure. Hey. It's Nicky.
What, you know him?
Yeah. What's he done?
When'd you see him?
Well, gee, last night I was out with him.
You know where he lives?
No.
Or where he works?
No. We were only out twice. He never told me a thing. Honest, nothing. Only met him in here. He came in with old John that runs the cleaning and pressing place.
In the next block?
Yeah, that's John.
Do you think Nicky will come back here again?
If he does, I'll kill him. I almost killed him last night, that dirty rot. What's the use of talking to
me? What happened?
He's supposed to give me a present, the Chisler. You know what he gives me? A bottle of onions, a bottle of pickled onions. The wise guy didn't cost him a cent. He told me he got them where he works.
And where's that?
I don't know, I told you. Some wholesale grocer, I guess.
Where are the onions? Have you still got them?
I threw the bottle at him. It broke. Hey, what's going on? What's he done?
Plenty.
I can imagine.
What's your name?
Liz. Liz Truman. No relation. What did he do, anyway?
He's wanted for murder.
Murder?
Yeah.
Oh, murder. Brother.
All right, Liz. We'll call you when we need you. Go take care of your tables.
Yeah. Murder. Oh, brother.
Well, there's your break.
Yeah. We ought to start checking all the wholesale grocers around here.
Well, the first thing, I'd better call in and get two men to stake this place out.
It's a good idea. He might show back here. What about this John?
We'll stake his store out, too. Feel better, Ed?
Yeah. A lot better. We were fishing without even a line. Now at least we've got a hook.
We'll come up with a fish, too. Just wait. Hello?
Hello, John. Nicky. Good to see you.
They got the store staked out, Nicky. Stay away.
What about the merchandise? I gotta make a sale.
You want to land us both in the can? Stay away.
I bought a car. I need the cash. I'm pulling out tomorrow afternoon.
Well, you better start pulling out right now. You're hot.
The car won't be ready.
Get off the wire, Nicky.
Listen, John.
Well, I gotta get off the wire. So long, Nicky. Good luck. Ed.
Yeah.
Hello, Lieutenant. No sign of him around here.
Get in.
Yeah. What's doing?
Cecily located the place where he works.
What?
Yeah. It's a wholesale grocer's.
That's a break, Lieutenant.
I don't know. He didn't show up on the job today.
Oh, I knew it was too good to be true.
Today's payday, and he's got a week's pay coming.
If he thinks we're close to him, he'd be a fool to show up for it.
Well, let's play him for being a fool. We'll stake the place out and hope for the best.
So, Gangbusters listeners, officers who are working to trap the elusive killer arranged an around-the-clock watch at the wholesale grocery warehouse. The next morning, Lieutenant Sukor and Sergeant Sully, dressed in work clothes, loafed near the entrance to the loft building in which the warehouse was located.
Ed, I got a sneaking suspicion this John tipped him off. I hate to say it, but it doesn't much look like he'll show up here or anyplace else in town.
Like I said, if he's got any sense, he won't.
Well, he seems to be a pretty cute operator.
Wait a minute. Look at that guy.
Where?
He's headed this way. That looks like him.
Yeah, some.
He's turning into the building.
Let's check him out.
Same build, all right.
I got the door. There he is at the elevator. Sass is on the elevator. He'll make him, too. Okay. Did you ring it up, pal?
Yeah, I rang it.
Nice day out.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'd go see the Sox play.
Oh, here we are.
Up, going up. Five.
Six, please.
Five.
Listen, Nicky.
Hey, what's the idea?
Stop, sir.
Job. What are you...
We're police officers, Nicky. Hold still.
Don't move.
Now, listen, you...
Don't move, I said. Nothing on him.
What'd you expect to find?
Okay, Sass. Take it down.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the idea? I just come to collect my pay. I'm a working man. I'm
going to collect a lot more, Nicky. Back in Los Angeles.
Oh.
That. Yeah, that. It's a wrap for murder.
So, Gangbusters listeners, this killer was flushed out from among 3 million people by Los Angeles and Chicago officers. He was returned to Los Angeles and placed on trial for murder with his confederates in the crime. All were found guilty and are now serving maximum sentences of life imprisonment in various California institutions.
Thank you, Lieutenant Thomas J. McGrath. Now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clue. Broadcast every week as a public service to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention all citizens. Be on the alert for John Othello Evans, wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid confinement for the crime of robbery. Listen carefully to his official description.
Age 33. 5 feet 8 inches. 150 pounds. Slender build. Brown hair thinning. Blue eyes, fair complexion. Scar on upper lip. Has tattoos on inner right forearm of a scroll with the names Stanley and John in the year 1937. Tattoo on left forearm of girl's head. He may seek work as a restaurant worker or punch press operator.
Caution. Evans may be armed and should be considered dangerous. If you have any information concerning this clue, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Ralph Bell, Joe Julian, and M.C. Strickland in leading roles. The entire production was supervised for CBS Radio by John Ives. Stuart Metz speaking.
I hope all of you enjoyed the programming this evening, and we continue with old-time radio next year when it's bigger and better than ever. So thank you, and again, have a very holy and prosperous holiday season. God bless you all.
There you have it.
Good shows. I enjoyed them. And I'm going to head off here, but I like Gangbusters, so thank you.
I didn't hear him say the date of those shows on either one. Did I miss it, or did he not say it?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
I don't think so, no.
See you later, everybody. Y'all have a great night.
All right, again, good night, Maxwell.
Good night. Bye now, everyone. Good luck, Joni. Good luck, everyone.
The first one, I was one of the very first OTR shows I ever heard. It was in like 1976, the John K. Giles. Have not heard it since then. So that was fun.
Now they used to play old time radio on KRLD between 10 and midnight, Monday through Friday. And I remember lying in bed, my little earphone, and Gangbusters is one of the shows in rotation. I had a little Panasonic AM/FM radio with a cassette player built in it, and I recorded some of them, and I still have those recordings to this day.
Oh, very cool.
Right here in my desk drawer. Have 1973 commercials and CBS News at the 10 o'clock hour and all that stuff. And some of them, I have some Lone Ranger, some Green Hornet, and some Gangbusters.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they still
and do you have
play.
A
yes, they do. They still play.
To play them on.
that's another miracle, is that I actually have something that will play them. Yes, I do. But
and this was Gangbusters. What was the story name?
Oh, God. Did he even say the names of the stories? I don't know.
They
don't always really have official titles. I mean,
I have titles on my cassettes.
Well, that's all right. I can listen to the rebroadcast.
Yeah, some of them.
Thank you. Hi, Joni.
Some of them have titles. I don't remember if he said the names of these.
Yeah.
But they sounded like they were pretty early.
Well, the first one was. The second one, I think, was a little later because Stuart Metz was the announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to be from probably around the late 40s into the 50s.
Yeah, probably.
Might have been a little earlier, but I don't think so. But Ralph Bell, I think they had a cast that they liked, that Phillips Lord liked to use.
Mm.
Bob Reddick, Frank Reddick in the early days. They were father and son, but did not get along. I don't know what happened between them. Frank Reddick was on in the early days, and Bob Reddick was on a little bit later. And Bob Reddick was fantastic. And when I got the book, The Godfather, I looked to see who was reading it. It was Bob Reddick. Oh, my God. I think I read that book about 4 or 5 times.
Was it called
Bob Reddick? Voice. Mm. Bob Reddick, yeah.
Mm.
I think other people read it after Bob Reddick did it. And it was very disappointing because he
I'm sorry, what was the book? What was the title of the book?
The Godfather.
Oh, okay. Oh, the
Remember
Godfather.
The Godfather?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're talking about Bob Reddick is the guy that read the book, audio
yes.
book, right? Okay, yeah.
Yes, spoken book.
I have it. I don't think I've I have it from Bard, I believe, but I don't think I have read it. When I was young, I read some of the book, and I don't remember why I didn't finish it, but.
Didn't Bob Reddick play some Johnny Dollar roles?
No. May have.
Bob Reddick, I think he was a Johnny Dollar for a few weeks.
Yeah, it seems to me I've heard his name in the credits. Because I really like Johnny Dollar.
Well, there were Johnny Dollars, so it's possible.
That's true.
I need to.
Right, there was Bob Bailey and Edmund O'Brien and Mandel Kramer. And...
Yep. I haven't listened to much of the early ones. Lots of the Bob Bailey ones.
Yeah. Well, luckily, we have a lot of the Johnny Dollars. But unfortunately, we don't have enough of the Gangbusters.
Well, mostly I just listen to Johnny Dollar on Rumsey, so I mm-hmm. take what I can get.
mm-hmm.
We don't have enough Gangbusters, we don't have enough 21st Precinct.
Got most all of them.
Still weren't enough because it was so good.
I got a folder that's got most of them. There's maybe 20 of them. I don't know how many they're missing, but not too many considering.
Yeah.
They're so good because they're so bad. The recordings at least. You know, they are. I mean, the recordings, it sounds like the same guy recorded them off a, you know, tabletop radio with his, I don't know, 1950s microphone or something in front of it. There's the sound is somewhat distorted. I never knew if the sound was just sound effects were bad, were supposed to be bad. They were bad to begin with, or if it's the recording that's bad, you know? But there's just something about them. They're so bad. They're irresistible.
Yeah, I agree.
And again, like we were talking about Gangbusters, there's no music, you know, no intro, no outro. There's just, to me, it was CBS answer to Dragnet, you know, real life crime stories.
Yeah, but Dragnet was a lot fancier And
oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. But still, I mean, that was
always on the side of the law.
21st Precinct was gritty, and the way the stories were, you know, it was New York. It's different, and the stories varied. Some of them were touching. Some of them were disturbing. You know, stuff like that. Some of them were humorous.
Yeah.
Always one I presented, the couple is driving down the street and the guy's going the wrong way. The cop walking back from school crossing duty sees him and stops him, and turns out they're I don't know what they were. They robbed a store. They got a gun on them, and they're driving a car that belongs to the guy's brother, and they're held at the police station while they, you know, wait to confirm that it's really the guy's brother, and the couple continues to bicker. And the woman's got the guy gives the woman, before the cop gets in the car, he hands her the gun, says, stick it in your purse. So it's in her purse, and they kind of discuss how to get rid of it, but there's no ladies' room at the precinct, you know? And in the end, she ends up hitting him in the face with her purse. Like I said, they're bickering throughout the whole thing. And the police captain says, wait a minute, what's in that purse? Why has he got a welt on his face? What you got in that? And they get busted for the gun, you know? If they'd have just, they were about to let him go if they just hadn't been bickering.
So good.
Can't remember what that one was called. It's got a name. There's another one where this guy is out, rich guy's out drinking, and he falls asleep in the cab, and he ends up getting arrested, and he's in the precinct, and you know he needs his sec. He's, you know, he's entitled, and so he's bitching about being in jail, and the they hold him in there, and finally, you know, his brother won't come down there, his lawyer's out of town. Finally they get his secretary, and she has to come up with his bail money, and she finally borrows it from a friend. She finally comes down there, and the guy's just fussing at her. You know, you don't need to read the paperwork. Just sign it. No, I'm going to read it. I want to read it, see what it does. Just sign it. I need to. Exactly. Finally, she gets mad at him and walks off, and he's stuck in jail.
Yeah. I love that one.
I presented both of those two one time. They're great. Those are two of my favorites.
Yeah.
And there's some others. Like I said there.
Where the guy wants to marry the girl, this girl, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with them, and one of the cops throws them down the stairs.
I don't remember that. I do remember one where a guy got thrown down the stairs.
I think that's the one, because he's bothering this teenager.
And yes, yes, yes. That's right.
And he doesn't know, the cop doesn't know what to do. And finally he throws him down the stairs. I love that one.
Yeah. I think there's like 130 episodes total. I don't know. I know I have the OTR streamer app, and it has like 89 or 90 something episodes. And then I got a folder from Bob Braxma, and I want to say it has like 100 and something episodes. It's got some that aren't in the OTR streamer. Some of the really later ones, like, you know, what's his name?
Oh, God, after Kennelly left.
Yeah. What was the actor who played Kennelly? The guy who killed himself because he had glaucoma. He was in Citizen Kane. I'll remember his name in a minute. But yes, he played Kennelly. And then the guy, oh God, why can't I say his name?
Everett Sloan.
Everett Sloan. And then James Gregory, who played in Barney Miller, played the second.
Captain.
Yeah, what's his name? I'll remember later. But anyway, there's a third one. His name is Kehoe, I believe. And he's not on very long. He's the last one. And at the end, Vincent P. Oh, God, I can't remember his name. Now I got to go have to listen to one. I mean, Captain Kennelly is 21st Precinct, but James Gregory did pretty good. And then towards the end, they redid some scripts. The stories are the same, but they've got different captain, and some of the characters are, it's a little, the story's the same, but it's different.
Well, after Captain Kennelly left, my heart wasn't really with 21st Spring.
It's not the same, but I don't know. James Gregory did a good job. And then so did the third guy. They're pretty good. But you could tell wrapping up. They were starting to repeat a lot of scripts from the early year or two. You know, it was only on for... It was a summer replacement for, I think, My Friend Irma. And it did so well that they renewed it and kept it on in the fall. And then it went, that was in, I think it starts in July of 53. And they kept it on until September of 56, I believe. So just a little over 3 years.
Which was a long time in those days.
I guess, yes, I guess it had run its course. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we think of Gunsmoke. I think Gunsmoke was only on for, is it on for 8 years, I think? 52 to
60?
Yeah, the 59? Radio show wasn't on very long.
Who?
The TV show was famous for being on 20 years.
A TV show was on for a long time, yes.
Yeah.
From like 20 years.
From what was it, 55 to 75? I think so, something like that.
I don't know.
Something like that, yeah.
I didn't
watch the TV one.
I never did. I mean, I'd seen it, but I didn't pay much attention to it. There were tons of Westerns on in the 60s. You know,
yeah.
That was like the staple of TV. I don't know which network had more. I know NBC seemed to have a ton of them. But I've been working my way through Gunsmoke. I listen to a year, and then I'll stop for a while so I don't totally burn out. I'm in 1955 right now. And they got L&M sponsorship.
Max Schmid on WBAI has been pretty much every week running Gunsmoke, and I forget what year he started, and he said it would take, I don't know how long, and he's still running it every week.
Well, my OTR streamer app says it has 415 episodes. And if you figure that if it ran every week, that would be 52 a year. And I notice in my app, there's occasionally a missing week or two. And I don't know if it didn't air that week or if they just are missing an episode. But if you had 52, 450, that'd be 8 years worth. That's, you know, that's about how long it was on the air.
Yeah.
I think it started.
Well, I'm going to have to. 50, I'm the,
52,
I'm gonna
it didn't
have to
start
go
till
now.
April. So you're going to have to go. Yeah. You're going to go to YUSA?
Yeah, but I want to call my sister first.
Did you listen to any of the reps thing that was on Blue this weekend, Saturday night?
Saturday night, I listened to Trevor Mickey and Molly, and I thought that it was
the one The one from the rep's recreation.
Yeah. I listened to The Great Gildersleeve.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think Beverly Washburn is absolutely unbelievable. She can make you believe that she's
She did my friend Irma. She likes to do Irma, apparently.
Well, you know what happened? I went to listen to it. Next thing I knew, I woke up and it was over. And I was annoyed.
That's how I felt, and I was there. I'm kidding.